vaccination. There are pockets of Australia, like northern New South Wales, around the Byron Bay area, and also in the inner north and inner northwest of Melbourne, where a significant proportion of kids are not vaccinated. Now, there's various reasons. Some people think that vaccines cause diseases, like autism, for example. Other people think that vaccines are a form of mind control by big pharmacy companies or maybe even the government. Others are just a bit nervous about what they've heard on the internet. But the fact about vaccines is this, is that diseases like polio, for example, which was very common in countries like Australia and still is common, sadly, in third world countries like India. But diseases like polio and whooping cough, the only reason we don't see them much anymore is because the bulk of kids are vaccinated against them. So it's very, very hard for the disease to get re-established in the population when almost every single person walking around is vaccinated. Now, the experts say you need a vaccination rate of about 95% to pretty much eradicate these diseases forever. The problem is, as we get more and more parents choosing, for whatever reason, not to vaccinate, we are seeing vaccination rates drop below 90 and back down into the 80s, at which point it is possible for the disease to get re-established. And the reason this is important is because there are some people who cannot be vaccinated. Newborn babies, people undergoing cancer treatment, for example. So if the disease gets back into the population because some otherwise healthy people aren't vaccinated, you'll get people like newborn babies and people with cancer who get sick and quite possibly die. And again, seeing a newborn baby struggling to breathe while it grapples with whooping cough is horrible. And yet that's what anti-vaccination does. Anyway, our next guest says that we should have more empathy for people who choose not to vaccinate their children. She's a social scientist, the Faculty of Medicine and Health at the University of Sydney. Julie Leese, good afternoon.
Hi, Tom.
Well, what are the reasons that people often choose not to vaccinate their kids? Is it the sort of pseudo-scientific, I believe vaccines cause autism, or is it something else?
Look, that's some of it, but there are quite a few different reasons. So broadly speaking, there's the people who don't want to vaccinate and the people who can't vaccinate on time because of practical issues, even though they want to. And I think recognising that, and also recognising that our immunisation rates now for five-year-olds are 95%, and they've actually been increasing over the last few years. So we're doing quite well in Australia for children. We've got a way to go with adults.
All right. Now, but, okay, if you say that there's people who are against vaccinations just because they don't like them and people who are, I don't know, too time-poor to actually get around to doing it, which do you think is the bigger group?
Well, as we've estimated that the larger group is actually the ones who are facing practical issues, and they might be a range of things.
Right. So what are those practical issues then, if that's the bigger group? Because, I mean, we tend to hear about the people who are the anti-vaxxers around Byron Bay and Clifton Hill and areas like that, but you're saying it's people who just have other reasons. Well, what are those other reasons?
So the child might be sick. This is parents who aren't vaccinating on time,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Eventually they do usually fully vaccinate. They can end up being quite late. The child's sick at the time, and the health professional might turn them away because the child's slightly unwell. They shouldn't, because you can vaccinate a child who's slightly unwell. The service is inaccessible. The hours of the clinic are not convenient for working parents. The child might be in out-of-home care, or there's mental health issues or family disruption. And sometimes all of those things can combine as well. So understanding those different reasons is the first step towards solving this problem.
Yeah, but I mean, I remember when my daughter was very young and we took her off for her jabs like most parents do. And I mean, there was the choice of several local GP clinics. There was something put on by the local council in a church hall. I mean, there were plenty of options. To say that you simply couldn't get it done, I mean, people manage to do many other things in their lives, and vaccination is pretty important.
Yeah, and the fact is that 95% of parents vaccinate their kids pretty well on time. So that group who don't vaccinate on time are small, and those are families who are facing, for them, insurmountable barriers that it might be hard for us to imagine if we have easy access to services and the resources we need to access those services.
Okay, but what you talk about an insurmountable barrier, like what?
Oh, well, like, for example, when you actually take your child for the vaccination and the health professional says, oh no, they've got a bit of a fever, come back, the child gets sick, and then or more unwell, and then they really can't be vaccinated. And then there's the parents who really just can't get out of the house, they're very homebound. And I think that's where we need to, you know, show the understanding, because understanding will help us find the right solutions for these families.
Yeah, but I mean, people can manage to get out of the house to buy food and cook meals and do other things. This idea that they can't possibly find the time or the inclination to vaccinate their kids, I'm not sure how that really adds up. I mean, yes, you might go once and your child's a bit ill, but that means you come back another time.
Yeah, look, it can be hard to imagine how that can happen. Vaccination's really important. Most people are very motivated. Some may not be as motivated as they could be, and that's where you see that sort of the lack of motivation sort of along with the practical barriers combining together. But you know, I think if we sort of shout more at these people, including the ones who actively refuse vaccination, we're not going to deal with this problem of having gaps in immunity. Yeah. And we want to deal with it. I'm with you there on wanting to have high vaccination rates.
But again, if you had a newborn baby and it caught whooping cough and suffered and possibly died because someone else or a group of other people hadn't vaccinated their kids, I mean, you would feel like shouting at them, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that it's understandable if there is a lot of emotion in this topic. But our experience in looking at this carefully, talking to many different parents' health professionals all over the world, has shown that if we have a really precise, a careful understanding of this issue and approach it carefully with good data, we can improve our vaccination rates even more.
All right. Well, thank you, Julie. Julie Leese, social scientist at the University of Sydney. She's at the Faculty of Medicine and Health there. I don't know. I've got to be honest. I struggle to believe that there are insurmountable odds that prevent parents from being able to get their children vaccinated. I mean, yes, you might go once and be told your child has a fever, come back in a fortnight. Again, what do people do with their lives? I mean, if what they don't do is attach enough importance to vaccination, that's the truth.